We don't want to do, not yet, Joshua.
Almost, but not yet.
Yeah, Lord, we just invite you again. And Lord, you know, as we consider your word and your words, Lord, Lord, would you make them alive in our hearts, and would you use the truth of your word, your grace of your word, to transform us and do stuff in us that we really can't do ourselves. We need you, Lord. We desperately need you in our lives. And Lord, I have put some things together, and Lord, I've, you know, got a particular focus in mind, but you might use my words to speak in a different way to different hearts, because you'll move and use things as you want to. So thank you, Lord, that you know each of us so intimately. You know how we're wired. And Lord, so would you just use everything today, Lord, to speak to hearts in ways that we can hear you. And Lord, we give you this time. You are so good and gracious. In Jesus' name, amen. So I guess I just want to start asking with a question. You know, have you ever looked at someone's creative work and wish, wow, I wish I could do that? Oh, yeah, I try to do painting now and again, and it's not very good. Actually, Ruth's up the back. She does great drawing and painting. She's really great. And it'd be great if you could see someone's work, and it'd be great if they would say, hey, let me show you how to do it. And there's a picture up there, thanks, Josh, of this artist. Many of you may have seen her work, Akiane Kramarik. She started painting and drawing when she was 4 years old, and she's 30 now. She did that one about of Jesus when she was 8 years old. But some of her pictures look like photographs. And I know when I look at her work, I just think, wow, how amazing is that, that someone can paint like that? I would love to do that. I want to be creative like that. You know, could you show me how? That would be great. I'm not sure that she could. but I just wanted to talk about that, because we're talking about our great Creator. And in March, we looked at God's master plan and what that is. And we saw that God's plan is presented to us right from the beginning in Genesis, throughout the Old Testament and into the New, and just continues throughout. And right from the beginning, we could see these themes emerging. We could see about his power. God creates everything we see with his power. His power is life-giving and brings fruitfulness to us. And now we have his power in us. His power is with us and in us and for us. And about his presence, all right from the beginning, we see that God longs and wants relationship with each of us. We see that all the way through. And so he wants to, his presence is with us. And now by faith in him, his spirit in us, his presence is in us. And he's so for us. He's for you. He loves you. Partnership, again, about relationship. But not only that, inviting us into this wonderful work that he does on earth and inviting us into that. And God's rescue. You know, we keep falling away, and you know, he's so marvelous and beautiful. And all throughout, especially we see the Old Testament, you know, people wanting to go their own way, and yet doesn't put God off. You know, we don't deter God from being who he is. Nothing can. He's perfectly loving all the time. And so God continues to rescue and does his ultimate rescue through Jesus Christ. But he rescues us to be a people. So he doesn't rescue us so that we can live our solitary lives, us with God, but he does it. It's a personal saving that he does in our life, but that we might be family. Isn't that awesome? I love it that James is here today. Welcome, James. I've never met James, but he's my brother. He's your brother. Isn't it awesome that we can be family. God brings us and he melds our hearts together. Again, that's by his Spirit. And we see that God is building his kingdom. Toe talked about that last week. And king and dom, you know, there's a rulership, there's a domain, there's a space where God rules. And wherever God rules, it's basically the place where everything happens just as God intends. And his intention is true flourishing for us, for all of creation. That's what God's kingdom is all about. And we're invited into that. So that was March. We're in April. And April's theme is about God, who is the master builder. And today we're looking at the master builder at work, and we see that through the life of Jesus and his ministry while he was here on earth. Now, scripture and even human records or historical records reveal to us that God actually did show up on earth through the man Jesus Christ, that God actually did put on flesh and walk this earth. And God did this because he wanted to show us, to show humanity what God is really like. And he did this by all of what he did and all of the words he spoke. So all of what God has revealed to us through human history, as we've seen in the Old Testament, we've been looking at all of that last month, he now fully reveals and demonstrates and perfectly shows how he's accomplished his desires, his plans, that he does it himself and that God himself is the master builder. So if you ever read John's gospel, right at the very beginning, John starts with three words. He says, "In the beginning." Now, John was writing that, so for all of the Jews in that time that were reading the beginning of his account of the good news, they were thinking, oh, I know those words. And we might remember them too. They're right at the beginning in Genesis. They're the very first three words in Genesis, in the beginning, that we were looking at. So John, in his gospel, he's wanting to link all that has gone before, and we looked at so much of that in March. Right from the very beginning, he's saying, think back to all of that, because I'm going to link all of that to what God is revealing right now. All that God has been building has led to this very moment. And so John continues to write, and this is what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And a little bit further on he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So what are these lines saying? He's saying that this Word, who created with God, is also God. This Word is equally eternal and fully God. And that this Word puts on flesh and comes in human form to live on earth with us. So this fully God and now fully human person putting on flesh is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is here to come and show to us what God is really like through his life on earth. And he also shows us in all of that what it looks like to be fully human. That's pretty amazing. We like to look at Jesus to think, wow, that's what you're like, God. But when we look at Jesus, we also know to think, wow, that's what it looks like to be really human. That's what I need to be like. That's the model you're showing me. Amazing. So, and we see too that God's plans continue to be fueled by his passionate, unrelenting love for us. How beautiful is God? He creates in love, he continues in love. And now in John 3:16, we know that verse, for God so loved the world. That's why Jesus came, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that life is real life, the real thing, a fullness of life that goes on forever and ever. Awesome. So today, because we're looking at the master builder, we're looking at Jesus, who shows us who is the master builder, it'd be good for us to have a look at some of the keys in which the master builder lives and builds. Because again, he's showing us what God is like, but also showing us what we're like or what we're to be like. So the first thing is power. So the arrival of Jesus occurs through the power of God. The Holy Spirit enables Jesus to be conceived right from the beginning. And we can read in Matthew 1:18, which says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And then later, as a man, as we see the story of Jesus unfolding, we see that Jesus was baptized. And at that moment, he was also anointed by God, the Holy Spirit. And so in Luke 3:21, we read, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And after his baptism, he was led out into the desert. We might remember the temptation. And in Luke 4:1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. And after that time of temptation, in 4:14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Jesus was born of the Spirit. He was filled and empowered by God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus knows it. He knows it. And so he stands up and he declares this in Luke 4:18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And I think it's just good just to remember here, you know, I mentioned before that God is all about relationship and us partnering with him. And it's part, and by faith, we too are filled with the same Holy Spirit. We're also empowered, just like Jesus, to bring freedom and release to other people in the name and in the authority of Jesus. How amazing. Do you really know it? Jesus really knows it. Do you really know it? Do you really experience the Holy Spirit power? Because that's what we're invited into. Jesus knew it and others could see it. Others could really see it. So Jesus brings the kingdom of God because everything he does and says enables everything to happen as God intends. Jesus rules and demonstrates the authority of God's kingdom to destroy sin, sickness and death, to bring rescue and freedom and release so that true life may come. And we see this demonstration of the kingdom of God in and through the life and the words of Jesus all throughout the gospel stories. We see in Mark 1:34 that Jesus healed many people who had various diseases, it says, and he drove out many demons. So he had authority over sickness. He had authority over the demons and over spiritual darkness. Thank you, Lord, for that. And it says that the people were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. When he spoke, they knew that he was someone to be listened to. They said not only can he speak with authority, but he has power to give orders to the evil spirits. They even listen to him. The humans are listening to him. The spiritual forces at work are listening to him. Wow, what authority Jesus demonstrated. And Jesus wanted everyone, he wants everyone to hear and receive the kingdom of God. He had people pressing him saying, Jesus, come with us, tell us some more and stay here, stay in this one place. And in Luke 4, he says, no, I've got to keep going. I want to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other places. The word has to get out. I want people to know. I want people to be in a space where things are going to happen the way God intends for their flourishing and for their freedom. So some other keys that we might look at to see how Jesus builds and establishes God's kingdom is humility. Jesus builds with humility. You know, he's God of the universe. And he's amazing. He's the creator of everything. He could have come and dominated, demanded that we just follow him. I mean, he is God. But he instead demonstrates a different way. That's the so amazing thing about God. He doesn't operate the way that we think he should or the way that we would if we were operating the world. He comes in a really different way. He comes in humility. And we see this in Philippians 2:5. And it reads, your attitude, us, should be the same as the attitude of Christ Jesus. He says, we should be like Christ. Again, we're invited into this partnership again. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, fully God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He wasn't holding on to that aspect of who he is, but made himself nothing. He chose to do that and to take the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness, being made to look like us. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So humility, it's saying to God, God, I'm choosing to do things your way, to follow your leading in my life. I'm choosing not to take control of the situation, but to do things your way. And so obedience is such a key as well. And in the humbled life, he was fully yielded to God. And he wanted to do everything to please God. And in John 17, Jesus made this statement to God as he was praying. He said, I brought you glory, Father, on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Again, it's saying he was willing to be yielded and humble and obedient to whatever the Father asked him to do. And he's showing us what it means to what it looks like to be fully human, to be in relationship with God, to be walking in humility before our God and in obedience. He also displayed peace. You know, as we read the stories, you know, people were coming against him and Jesus was very composed. He wasn't ruffled by what was going on around him. He wasn't fearful. He seemed like everything he said, he was in control of his emotions. He knew who he belonged to and he knew who he was, that he is the Prince of Peace, which was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, that he belongs to God. He also demonstrates joy as well. You know, it says in Hebrews 1:9 that the Father separates him from being different to the angels because he's anointed with joy and he is the Father's Son. He's anointed with joy, and we see later on in Hebrews it was for the joy set before him. Sometimes we see a very sort of clinical picture of Jesus when we think of him. He's just very composed, you know, but he wept. He was emotional. He had joy. He loved people. He loves us. And it was joy. Joy is something you have to experience. It's not something sterile, but Jesus had real joy, real joy. And he also showed us, and we've already talked about, that he had authority. So what about us then? In Jesus Christ, God's kingdom is established for all eternity. And Jesus came to establish God's kingdom in us, as his Spirit lives in us by faith. So as his Spirit, his presence lives in us, then his presence and his Spirit can flow out from us and impact others. So we're invited to partner with him, empowered by Holy Spirit, filled with Holy Spirit, to bring and build God's kingdom wherever we are. You know, I started with the picture of those beautiful paintings by that young woman, Akiane. And, you know, I would love to know how to do that work with God. We just don't get to stand in awe at the beauty of God's handiwork like we might with the paintings. And his handiwork is about lives being wondrously changed by his love. We just don't stand in awe of that. But we're shown how to do it too. How amazing. How amazing. We just don't get to know about it. We get to do it. And God shows us through Jesus. And in John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." It's all about love. And, you know, I think through this, God is saying, you know, when we receive God's love, can we get back to that other slide, Josh, with the one before that, please? Thank you. Yeah, when we receive God's love, we're empowered by that love, by the love of God, not only to love him back, but to also choose to walk in obedience, obeying his commands. His love is so empowering and beautiful in our lives. Today, will you humble yourself and let God's love come in and turn your life around? God's always wanting to do that with us. We're called to follow our beautiful Lord, to build with God just like God. And we're all together children of God's magnificent kingdom. And Paul tells us what being kids in the kingdom should look like. And this picture, all these words, is meant to be our normal way of life. In Romans 14:17, Paul writes, "For the kingdom of God is not about... it's not a matter of eating and drinking." So eating and drinking, that's all about earthly or human rules and regulations. That sense of obligation and expectations that other people might have on us. It's not about that, but it's all about, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So our experience then is not from earthly or fleshly origins, but God's inviting us to experience life, his spiritual life in him, by him. So righteousness, what is that? Well, it's about having right relationship with God, nothing hindering our relationship with God, right relationship with those people around us, nothing hindering that. Right behaving to God, to others in this world. Right speaking, just like Jesus. Right doing, right speaking to others, to demonstrate the kingdom of God in our life. But there's also an experience like Jesus had, joy and peace. And this joy and peace is not just that happens because life's good. It happens despite our circumstances. It's of spiritual origin, and that's what we get to receive. And as we see that God does everything in love, for God so loved the world, Paul also reminds us and urges in 1 Corinthians, do everything in love. So we get to build and be like Jesus and do everything in love. So quite a lot to look at today, but I think as we do that, it's a time for us, I think, to think, well, how does this really impact me? How do I do this? How does it impact me? And maybe we should ask some questions of ourselves today. What would it look like for you to follow Jesus today? What would it look like for you? What would it look like for you to partner with God in building his kingdom here on earth? Because his kingdom has already come in you, and you get to take it wherever you go. Now, if Romans 14:7 is our norm, that means that we should have this right relationship, right behaving, right attitude. We should be experiencing peace and experiencing joy. So if that should be our norm, do you always feel like that? No. No. So when we don't feel like that, that's the opportune time to ask, God, why am I not experiencing your peace today? What's going on? What am I not seeing that you're seeing about my situation right now? What is it I'm not believing that I should be believing? What lie maybe am I thinking that I need to replace with your truth right now? So righteousness, peace and joy is a great leveler for us, or a great way for us to think each day, am I experiencing that? If not, why not? God, go to God, ask God, why not? Why am I not experiencing that today? Because that's what we're invited into. And I guess on that list, you know, being filled with Holy Spirit power and having humility, what characteristics or keys do you think you do well in right now? What are you really aware of? Think, yeah, I think I'm getting a handle on that. That's really great. Good. You know, God is wanting to encourage you today. That's really awesome. You know, do you recognize that you are filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by Holy Spirit? Are you living from his strength in your life, his strength and not your own? And all those others that we've got up there. What aspects of life, of Christ's life in you, are you needing to grow in? Which bits are you feeling a bit wobbly in today? Is there something that maybe you could start doing in the next day or so, some strategies you could put in place that could help you grow in some of these characteristics in your life? Spending more time, maybe making it that those moments with God a bit more intentional, whatever it might be. I think in all of this, let's remember that God has rescued all of us, has saved us from the power of sin and death, that we might be a people together, a family, and that we might be his treasured possession together. And he's done that because we need each other. We need each other. You know, let's really live and journey with each other in our process of being transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We're all on a journey in all of these things. We're all in process. So I really would invite you today, if you feel like, wow, I would really like to grow in a particular space or something that's been said, think, yeah, I would love more of that. I would really encourage you that before you go today, that you say to someone, hey, would you pray with me? You know, let's be family. Praying together is a beautiful way of loving and caring for one another. So as I just pray and round off, just invite the worship team to come because we're going to just let what God has been saying through his word just to saturate our hearts as we move into a time of communion. So Lord, I thank you. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you did what no one expected, that you would actually put flesh on, Lord God, and come to walk in the dust with us. We thank you for sending your Son. We thank you, Jesus, that you willingly came to show us what God is like, full of compassion and love, wanting us to flourish, to be set free. Lord, you came that we would know freedom, true freedom, freedom to know you, freedom to be able to choose you. And Lord, that we get to build with you. We thank you for showing us what the kingdom of God is like, where people are healed and set free, Lord God, and we're invited into that. So, Lord, as we consider who you are and, Lord, who you invite us to be more and more, Lord, we come, we say, come, Holy Spirit, and show us and reveal us. We humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, we relinquish our control of our lives, Lord, because we know that you are good, you're faithful, and we can trust you in all things. So come and reveal to us, Lord. And we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen.